I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm a Mormon through and through.
But Heather, God changed his mind.
Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am Heather B. Armstrong.
And I am John R. Bray.
We are back from... Well, we didn't really take a week off.
No, I wouldn't say that. That was really not planned. That was one of those, like, I think you had something going on, and then I had something going on, and then you had some time available, but then I didn't. And it was, I mean, it was very abnormal because we usually hold this time, but it was also kind of not abnormal.
Yeah, last week was one of those, like, two orthodontist appointments. Child wellness exam and the yearly exam that they give kids.
Right.
By the way, you have noise going on your end, and I have noise going on my end as well.
I do. Today. There's hammering because
And vacuuming and all sorts of things going on. So
yeah, but we're powering through.
We have our shit together.
That's right. That's right. We do. It is excellent.
Yeah.
There's really no good time. That's what it ultimately amounts to with everything.
Yeah.
There's never a good time.
There was something going on every single day last week in the middle of my day. And I also had to turn in my book. The final edits.
So it's done.
They keep saying that, and then they send me another copy and go, well, you need to just approve these changes. And these last edits were mostly me accepting. Apparently you spell out... Oh my gosh, she's banging a wall downstairs. I don't know if you can hear it.
No, I can only hear the hammering that is like 5 feet from my face.
You spell out 18. You don't use the number 18. You actually spell it out. You're a copywriter.
Where's the cutoff? Do they make the cutoff 20?
Well, no, like all these numbers in my manuscript are spelled out.
Oh, like all of them. Mm-hmm. Like there's just, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that was the... That's what they're doing. I guess has it always been that way?
Now that you say it, I'm wondering. I mean, it sounds weird, but I feel like I would remember seeing big numbers as numbers, and I feel like I haven't in a book.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's more likely that I've read, you know, the words 207 than the number 207.
Yeah.
But I never thought of it because when I write, I tend to cap it off at 10,
mm-hmm.
maybe 15.
Yeah.
So this was not really like hands-on editing. It was more reading and confirming.
It was like, it was mostly, I mean, and there was a lot, you know, I have gotten into the habit of writing a certain very casual conversational way that doesn't follow necessarily any guidelines.
It's a manic rambling spiral.
Yeah. While I know the rules for how to put a sentence together, sometimes I don't follow those rules. And the copy editor went through and just like you should have seen it. Like I opened up the document and it was just like red lines everywhere.
Oh wow. And,
I showed it to Lita and she's like, what happened? I was like, a smart person took a look at it.
Well, that's right. They have multiple editors too, so you're getting like the first round feedback from everyone.
He said that he had never worked on a book that had more eyes look on it than this one.
Interesting.
And I was like, I'm sorry.
Did he say why though? I mean, is it the topic?
They're really excited about the book, which is good.
That's awesome.
And they along with me, they want to get it right. And so we've gone line by line by line by line. So that happened last week too. I took away Marlo's device. That's what I was going to tell you, by the way. You and I are, you're homeschooling, and I took away a device from my child.
Is it still away? Like, this was last week?
She can use it on the weekends, but she is not allowed to use it during during the week.
Yeah, I actually did that in, I don't know, sixth or seventh grade.
Really?
Yep. Because it just became, I felt like when he would use it, it kind of like shut his brain down for the day.
Yeah.
And even if I then said, okay, well, you can't use it until all of your responsibilities are taken care of, it was so distracting having that notion in his mind that he would either rush through things and do them poorly, or it would make everything a nightmare. So I finally just said that nothing, Monday through Friday until like after school on a Friday, nothing.
Yeah.
It was rocky the first couple weeks, but eventually he just adjusted to it. Still in that adjustment phase?
It hasn't been rocky because I'm very serious about it. She was throwing a fit about a term on a math problem that she did not need to throw a fit over. When I took away the device, I took it away on a Tuesday, and then for the rest of the week, she was great. Like, she was awesome doing homework. She was awesome practicing piano. Like, she was in a great mood. She read 3 books. It changed her completely. Like, it transformed her. And so I just decided to stick with it. I think what it does, like you said, she was holding it in her head that she was going to get to use the device whenever she was done with her stuff. So she's rushing through things and...
Yep.
Yeah.
And then in her case, it sounds like that rushing would cause her to either not understand or do them poorly. And then that would just piss her off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I've always said that screen time, like, I've been really, really, really liberal with it. But seeing the difference that it has made in her attitude about life is like, okay. But this is the thing, is that Lita is always on her phone, but Lita can handle that. Lita gets all of her work done. She practices piano without any prompting. She gets her stuff done and she's fine on the phone. It doesn't muddle her brain, but then there's Marlo.
I mean, it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
And I think limiting it, I mean, it's harder too, because now does Marlo, her device is what, an iPad?
An iPad.
She doesn't have a phone yet.
No.
Yeah. That's hard because I don't want to take a phone away because, you know, it's how, well, it's how Lexton communicates with his friends. It's how he reaches me.
Did you take his phone away?
I haven't, but I'm slowly reaching the point where I feel like deleting Safari and YouTube, because fucking YouTube, man, there's like, there's so much. And granted, it's funny to complain about it because probably 90% of what he does on YouTube are videos of people taking things apart and putting them, like, they're educational videos. And the other 10% is music that he can't find on Spotify. So he's not using it for bad things, but it has gotten to the point some days where every free moment, it's YouTube. Like, he'll need help with a math problem, and if I say, hang on a second, his phone is out and YouTube is open. He was YouTubing in the bathroom. And the only reason I knew this is because I realized he'd been in the bathroom, like, forever. And we know how we feel about leisure poops. So
yes,
he'd been in there forever, and I remembered that we're both on the same Wi-Fi network. And we share an Apple ID. So you can see with handoff on iPhones if other people are using certain apps. So I checked, and he's in Safari watching a video on YouTube, sitting on the toilet. So I called up. I'm like, how's the YouTube video?
Are you serious?
Really long pause. He's like, I'm not watching YouTube. I said, no, not right now. You just closed it. And then he just groans. I'm like, I cannot do this. You can't be in the bathroom for 40 minutes YouTubing. It doesn't work.
Oh my gosh. We graduated from Reader's Digest to watching YouTube videos on the toilet.
I know. I should get some Reader's Digest. I mean, like, this is your new option. Man.
So Marlo watches and it's a thing with a lot of kids. She watches people playing video games.
Oh, yeah. People get paid.
Oh, they make
Tons of money. Yeah.
Like millions of dollars a month doing it.
Yeah. I was just talking to someone about someone who makes like almost $1 million a month playing Fortnite.
Yeah.
What is the website though? Like There's a specific Twitch, maybe? I don't remember. There's a website where you can just go and watch people.
Yeah. She loves it. She loves the commentary. She loves, like, I guess they have, like, strategies and they build things and she likes what they build. And they're super, like, kid friendly because they use high voices and they talk like this. But, like, it's her watching people build things in Minecraft or her watching people play video games. And so that was what she was spending the majority of her time doing. And so when I took the device away, oh, man, I called her to get her to take a shower to go to bed. And I'm like, where is she? Cowboy's son is huge into gaming. I think he's actually, that's what he's studying in college is, like, coding and like game basically design. Engineering. And
wow.
He was playing a game on his computer in his room, and Marlo was sitting on his bed watching him.
Oh, my God. I've never understood that. I even remember being a kid and playing video games with friends. And as soon as it wasn't my turn, I was bored having to watch. But choosing to do that? Oh, man.
She's like, oh, I can do this in real life. I can just sit behind him.
Now, is she sitting there quiet or were they interacting?
No, she's just sitting there watching him. Just, silently. Okay. At least she wasn't on her device.
That's true. And I mean, she's with a real human. So I don't know. I still don't get it. I would love to know why she likes it though.
Yeah. Again, they talk in these really, really high pitched voices and it's super annoying to me, but there may be, and she also watches those soothing videos, like people pouring peanut butter into things and like crayons being made and
that's awesome.
Marshmallow stuff, like really soothing textures. Do you know about this phenomenon?
Yeah, I know about that.
She loves that stuff. And I honestly think that taking the device away is going to improve our lives so, so quickly.
It'll be interesting to see too, as the weeks go on, what she actually uses it for. Like now that her time is restricted, is she more selective with what she does?
Yes, because I've restricted the time on the weekends as well. I told her that she needed to occupy herself on Saturday morning until 9 o'clock because I wanted to sleep in. And I went into her bedroom when I got up and she's in her bed reading a book. And I went and I checked her screen time and she had only been on her screen for like 58 seconds that morning.
Wow.
Knowing that, okay, well, I've only got 1 hour and 10 minutes today on this device, so I'm going to only do 20 seconds.
That's really fascinating, actually. I mean, it just makes me wonder if it will have this effect where she knows she only has so much time, so she saves it and then eventually just doesn't use it because she's doing other things.
She's doing other things. She's been painting and writing and reading. I was really, really concerned there for a few weeks just because of the workload. I forgot that the workload in fourth grade is just, it's an exponential jump from third to fourth grade in terms of projects and oral reports and homework. And I was really worried that something was going on because getting her to do her homework was excruciating. And she wouldn't focus, and she would, in the middle of a math problem, turn to me and start talking about something completely out of nowhere. And then I would make her focus, and it was almost as if her trying to focus on her homework was physically painful. And her father got diagnosed with ADD after our divorce. And so I sent the teacher an email, and I said, how is she performing in class? Because I don't know what's going to happen when she comes home. I don't know what Marlo I'm going to get.
Right.
And the teacher was like, well, I'm sorry it's that way for you, but she's an angel in class. She's a model student. She's super focused. She gets everything done. And I'm like, fuck.
Well, there's no device option there.
Yeah.
I mean, not that that's the only thing, but I mean, that could be a major factor.
And so, like, here I was, like, is it ADD? What's going on? But taking away the device, sort of like you said, like, it was just, it cleared her brain of relying, okay, well, if I could just get this done really quickly, I'll get to watch the YouTube video. Yeah, I'm hoping that it has more positive effects as we move forward.
Well, I think it also goes to show, and I know we've talked about this before, for the most part, parents are always doing what they think is best for their kid. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you just realize, I mean, in this case, like you said, Lita can totally do it. She can manage it. It's totally fine. Mm-hmm. So that's the strategy that you used with Marlo because it worked with Lita and it didn't work with Marlo. So you change it.
Yeah.
Like you have to do that. There's no wrong or right way. Well, I take that back. The wrong way is to not really respond when things go sideways. But as long as you're responsive.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to figure out what the problem is here. Like there's something that is going on that is causing pain.
Right. And you could have cut screen time and nothing changed. And then you realize, okay, well, that's not it. Mm-hmm. So what do I need to do? You know, you kind of just eliminate things. So really kids are just a social experiment. It's ultimately, that is what parenting is. Like you just try shit out as you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And also the driving on the weekends, Lita now has this social life and it requires so much dropping off and picking up. And I got to figure something out because I'm not here for it.
What I've done with that is I've just kind of made a rule, and I'll make exceptions from time to time, but that I will do one way. I will bring him somewhere or pick him up, or I will pick up a friend or drop a friend off. But I'm not going to do both directions. Mm-hmm. And usually if it's something he initiates, I'll tell him, I'll say, I'll drop you off there, but they need to be able to bring you home or it's not going to work.
Like, yeah.
Bottom line, that's the only option. And that's actually been pretty effective. And to the really? Point where I don't have to communicate with parents at all. So it's just, as long as you can get home, it's fine.
Yeah.
But you also live, I think I forget that you live in a city. Mm-hmm. I don't. So getting from A to B where I live is a totally different situation than A to B where you live.
I did so much driving on Saturday and it really upset me just because did not want to spend my Saturday driving. Like I do so much driving during the week and I hate driving. We've discussed this and I don't want, and it was just driving to drop her off, picking her up, dropping her off, picking her up, dropping her off, picking her up. And I got her a bus pass she had gone to the mall with her friend. I took her there and we were out running errands and I said, hey, we're near you. Can I come pick you up? And she did not text me back. So I get home and like not 5 minutes after I get home, she texts me and says, I need you to come pick me up. I said, well, where's the other girl? Where does she live? She can't take me.
Oh, geez.
Okay. Well, where's your bus pass? I don't have it on me.
So you're staying at the mall.
You're going to live at the mall permanently.
Yeah.
I just don't remember my mother driving me that much on the weekends, and we have to come up with a solution for that because I'm not her chauffeur, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's this endless goal to have the weekend feel different than the week.
Yeah.
I mean, as simple as it sounds, and it's a really hard thing to achieve. Mm-hmm. Lexton was with Heather this past weekend, and so, you know, 48 hours of freedom. So I made a list. Like I spent my Friday evening making a list of what I needed to do on Saturday down to the half hour, like half hour, an hour blocks of things beginning at 6 a.m. I got all the way to 7 and realized I had left off the biggest thing I needed to do. It was great because the list itself actually made me fairly productive on Saturday, but it also made me realize that I'm out of my mind. Like, there's no way I can get done all of the shit that I think I can get done.
Right.
And it kind of helped me understand why I always feel like I'm not doing enough because it's just unrealistic. I mean, it was 15 hours worth of stuff that I was expecting to get done in like 8 hours, which I mean, we're going to have to go back and talk about dropping balls because that's what that is.
Dropping balls.
There's no way.
There's no way. There's no way. And, you know, I think, and I'm sure that you're experiencing this, getting work done was a whole lot easier when the kids were younger because they didn't require all the back and forth and the, okay, let me check your homework. Let me check your bag. Let me drive you here. Let me drive you there. There's this lesson. There's this lesson. There's this practice. Like, there's so much now that they're older that just is so much more complicated than, and I never thought that I would say that. I remember thinking, well, when they get older, it's going to get easier and it's going to smooth out and, you know, oh, I won't. And as much as I'm not, you know, involved in their sleep habits as I once was, or their bathroom habits as I once was, right, you know, it's a different, I'm consumed so much more in a different way with their upkeep.
I think it's more mentally taxing,
yeah,
as they get older, just because it's, I don't know, there's more detail to it. It requires, I don't even want to say more brain power. I'm not saying that parents with young kids are, you know, not using their brain, but the issues are not as complex when they're younger. So I think it just feels, especially in hindsight, I think it just feels like a much easier time.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Bathroom, oh, so glad I don't have to think about that anymore.
Right.
I mean, some of that stuff, like, yeah, there were things that were easier, but some of it, oh man, the like food battles and I don't know.
The food battles, ugh.
But again, it's different because you've got a teen and then you still have a kid who's not really young, but is still young. I'm just full teen, which is kind of like a really sloppy roommate. And that's ultimately what it feels like most days. He actually today had to go in for the entire day of public school because his black and white photo class, he's taking a trip into Chicago.
Oh, wow.
Which is a big deal because that's in like an hour, a little more probably on a bus, to walk on Michigan Avenue and take photos and, you know, do all this stuff, which he's super excited, really wanted to do it. We had to leave the house at 7.
Oh, God.
And I'm a morning person, but especially since this year has started, so for 2 months, Monday through Friday, I haven't really gone anywhere that early in the morning because it's homeschool. So I get up and work and do my thing. We got there, but holy shit.
We got there.
It was, man, I even told him, I'm like, I'm so glad I don't have to do this every single day because this is insane. And the drop off, like I don't normally drop them off in the morning. The drop off line is absurd.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I just like 3 blocks back on the street, not even in the parking lot yet.
Yeah.
Oh. So.
That's why I love walking to school.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't have to deal with the whole car line situation.
And it's a nice way to, I think, especially for the kids, to kind of warm up for the day. I mean, I walk to school through 8th grade, and sometimes in high school, I was within walking distance of all of them.
Oh, yeah?
And it was kind of a nice way to decompress after school, to get ready for school. I mean, in hindsight, at the time, I thought it was shit, but that's how most things are.
Yeah. Yeah, Marla does not like the walk home from school because it's uphill.
Because it's uphill?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
She gets to tell that to her grandchildren, that she had to walk uphill all the way home.
And it already snowed by you, so soon it's going to be snow on the ground uphill.
It's freezing outside in the mornings. It was like 29 degrees this morning when we left the house.
Yeah, that's cool.
We did not have a fall. It just went from literally 89 degrees and shot down to 29 overnight.
It's actually been okay here. Our mornings have been about that cold, like low 30s. But during the day, it's 55.
Mm-hmm.
And we normally go from summer to winter. Like, there's really no transition period. But 55 during the day, I can do that.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, walking in the middle of the day has been really lovely. It's like 55 degrees and the sun's out, and it's good for me to get out and, you know, because I'm so sedentary in terms of what I do. However, and I guess maybe this is the first year that I haven't ever had someone watching my kids until 5:30. And so basically my day ends, my work day sort of ends at 3 o'clock, because that's when I leave the house to walk to pick her up. And then we come home, I give her about 15 minutes to decompress, and then we start the evening. We do. I help her with homework and projects and piano. And so I can get a little bit of work done while I'm doing that, sort of. But I think that has also put a dent in my productivity level, is that I have to be done by 3 o'clock. Like, the most important things that I need to get done have to be done by 3. And then the rest of my day is dedicated to my kids, which, you know, it's not a bad thing. I love spending time with them this way, but I'm looking at like all of the things that I need to get done, and I can't because I'm working on stupid, shitty Eureka math. God damn it. So fucking hard, man. I'm going to just expletive that shit up.
Well, it's hard. But that's just it. Is like, you can do all the problems. You just can't do them how Eureka math does them.
Exactly.
Like that was always my thing. Like, I could do the problems, but I had no fucking idea how they did the problem or why. Like, the way that I would do it would be 3 steps, and they do it in like 10 that are subdivided mm-hmm. into 3 mini steps. And it's just mind numbing. And she doesn't, is she still struggling with it?
I only look at it, I'm sort of hands off because I just don't get it. And the teacher told me to back off. She said she's getting it in class, she's doing well. And so I just decided that I was going to back off when it came to the math homework. And I set a timer, and she does it for like 10 to 15 minutes. And then sometimes I'll look at it. And when I look at it, it enrages me. I get so mad.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Because it's stupid. It's just dumb. Like, it's like, why are you having a child do 70 steps when they could get it done in 1? I don't understand. It makes no sense to me. I want to rip up the book.
Oh, yeah. And it's always hard to be in that position, too, because I think it's really important to acknowledge to our kids, like, this sucks. I understand that this sucks, but we still need to do it. And to maintain enough of a, like, positive attitude and composure that they don't also just throw their hands in the air.
Uh-huh.
But you can't just pretend and be like, well, you have to do it, it's math, because it clearly blows. Like, there's no way around that. But sometimes you have to push through those things and drag everyone else down with you.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But it's hard. I mean, in some ways, I found over the last couple years that when I knew I would, you know, I would have from like 8:45 to 3 every day, it's obviously a shortened day, but there were some days where I felt like it made me extra productive because I knew I had mm-hmm. that limited time. But other times there'd be that one lingering thing you couldn't do. And it would almost haunt me, kind of like screen time would haunt. Like the rest of the night, I would know it was there and I would really want to do it. And I would try to think of every possible opportunity that I could. And you can't, you just can't. And then 9 o'clock rolls around and I'm worthless for work.
I'm now, like, my day is now 8:45 to 3. And when you throw in an orthodontist appointment, or you throw in a doctor's appointment, like, you're fucked.
Yeah.
You're fucked. You're totally fucked. And last week, every single day, there was something going on. And I get super frustrated, and I almost texted you this, or maybe I did, like, are we ever going to catch up with our lives? Like, are we going to catch up?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember why you texted that, though, but yeah, because I think it was, last week was a cluster.
You got something going on with your teeth.
Oh, I do. Yeah, you mentioned the orthodontist appointment. I went to the dentist.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment.
Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And?
Oh, man. So, and I knew I shouldn't have. I tweeted something to the effect of, a freelancer goes to the dentist is one of those... The joke is also the punchline situations, because it has admittedly been a little while, because insurance sucks. But I have very good dental hygiene. Like, I floss every single day, brush twice a day. I mean, I'm really good at it. And they told me that. They said, you are very, very, very
I'm really good at it.
Like, I excel in the area of dental hygiene. So just putting that out there. But my wisdom teeth are like dicking around in the back of my mouth, and they need to come out.
So, I'm trying to remember. Does this happen to people in their 30s?
Well, apparently, there are so many different scenarios. Like, you can have wisdom teeth and never need them taken out ever. They're fine. They just do their thing.
That's me.
Right. Which would be fantastic. That was my hope. But mine, two of them are actually, I think two... Two are still, I don't know what they call them, impacted. Like, not even close to causing any problems at all. But the other two are growing, like, backward toward my jawbone. And at the same time, pushing all of my other teeth forward. So they're just causing all kinds of hell.
Does it hurt?
No. No, I don't feel any pain. That wasn't why I went. It's fine. That's why I don't want to get them taken out. But she was saying if it does something back near the jawbone, that's going to be super problematic. And
you don't want your jaw to come unhinged because of your wisdom teeth. Yeah.
She's like, your face will swell up more than you can imagine. Like, yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't really need that.
Oh.
And she can see on the x-ray that one of the wisdom teeth, because of how it's growing and where it's like pushing on the tooth, that there's like a probably, but not for sure, a cavity on like the farthest back molar. And she can't do anything about it if the wisdom tooth is there. So if I don't do anything and the cavity goes into both the wisdom teeth tooth and the molar, then it's just all kinds of shit. And I hate needles. Oh my God, I hate needles. I cannot even communicate it. And the dentist kind of laughed. She's like, yeah, but do you pass out? I said, yeah, I pass out. Like, I will pass out if you want to give me a shot. So it's gonna suck. And I have all these referrals and every oral surgeon. Some people love them and some people hate them. So I really don't know. So now I'm trying to get appointments, but of course all the college kids come home for Thanksgiving and Christmas and have God knows what done to their mouths. So everyone's booked and it's great.
Have you made an appointment to have them removed?
Well, no. So you have to first you get the referral, then you have to make an appointment for a consultation, then you have to make the appointment to have them removed. So I have one consultation scheduled in December because that was the earliest availability. And I have one more that I'm trying to schedule in November, but neither of those will actually be able to do the removal until January.
In the meantime, you're just hoping that your face doesn't swell.
Yeah. I mean, I think in all reality, I'd probably be good for another couple years, truly. But she said the longer you wait, the worse the recovery is going to be because you're getting older. So I need to do it. My goal honestly, because Lexton actually might not even be here for Thanksgiving, was just to do it that week, because most companies aren't really doing a lot that week, so my clients will be slow, so it would just be a great time to feel miserable.
Uh-huh.
But other people have already chosen to feel miserable that week, so I can't. I don't know. I don't, it's just something. And that, so this appointment was supposed to be like 45 or 50 minutes. It was like almost 2.5 hours.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I finally realized I went in at 2 and I had made arrangements for Lexton to get picked up and everything was fine. And I realized by like 3:30, I'm like, well, my day's done. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
This is it. I thought maybe I'd have another hour, hour and a half, but no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I come home and I think Lexton heard me calling one of the offices and I got off the phone. He's like, oh, what happened? So I told him. He goes, yeah, that sucks. That was it. Like, but it felt like an okay response. And yeah, it does suck. And I said, that's why you need to brush and floss. He's like, but you do brush and floss. Like, yeah, well, sometimes that doesn't help either. So just give
up. Not with wisdom teeth. Yeah. Whoa.
And yours are still like just not doing anything?
Mine came in, and when they did, my pediatric dentist took a look at him. This is back in college, I think. And he was, because I went home because I didn't have any insurance other than being on my parents' insurance. I don't have dental insurance now. Like, I just pay out of pocket because dental insurance is a fucking joke.
Here it's not bad. Here it's like, I don't know, $20 a month. It's super inexpensive.
Oh, no, it's like what I would pay in a premium is it. Yeah, no. But like braces aren't covered under insurance. Like I'm paying for braces and Invisalign and for both of them.
Oh no. Orthodontic. Yeah. That stuff is never. Yeah.
Yeah. But like he took a look at my wisdom teeth and said, you know, they're coming in straight. Everything's fine. They did fuck up, my bottom teeth. They pushed all of my bottom teeth together. So I have, my bottom teeth are pretty crooked, but I could get that fixed. But I remember when I finally did have insurance in Los Angeles, I went and got a whole bunch of dental work done because all of my old cavities were riding out, like the black, what they used to fill them with a black, what was it called?
They filled them with
like
black.
A resin. It was black. You filled in the cavities with like a black resin of some sort.
Oh, wow.
So they redid all of my cavities with porcelain and my insurance covered it all. But I remember going in and that dentist, he looked in my mouth for the first time and he's like, whoa, you're like a fucking crocodile.
Oh, God.
Because I have all of my teeth. Other dentists have pointed it out.
Hmm? And your wisdoms, like those are all up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's wild. I was hoping for that as a kid, but no.
No. They require Mormons, or they used to. Oh, I'm not supposed to use the word Mormon anymore, by the way. We could talk about that.
Really?
Yeah.
They don't like the label?
They don't like the label. The label is insulting to God, apparently. Oh, wow. I'm going to keep quiet. I promise I'll keep quiet. Sorry to all the Mormons in the... sorry to all the Latter-day Saints in the audience.
Oh, God.
I don't know, that there was a huge campaign in the 70s and 80s called I Am a Mormon. And it was like, and suddenly in 2018, using the word Mormon is like an insulting to God. But they, before they would send missionaries out into the field, you had to get your wisdom teeth taken out because it would be too much of a hassle to do it if something happened while you were on your mission.
And was it like regardless of their status, you had to have them out?
Yeah, you had to have your wisdom teeth removed. That used to be a hard and fast rule. Which yeah. I guess is kind of weird when I think about it.
I mean, I understand the logic of it. Mm-hmm. Like if you're out in the middle of nowhere, that makes sense. But if, like in your case, yours were fine. So there would really be no... Like if they're already up and they're there and everything is okay, they're not going to become an issue any more than any of your other teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mostly I'm fascinated by the fact that Mormon is not okay anymore.
Yeah, it was a huge revelation. And I use the word revelation very literally. They had they have conference twice a year where you can watch it on TV now, but growing up, we actually had to go to church and watch a telecast of it. They hold conference at Temple Square where, you know, several of the prophet will speak and the apostles will speak, and they give talks about doctrine and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's 4 hours on Saturday and 4 hours on Sunday twice a year. And one of the revelations was, you know, they're no longer calling it the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
So like, is it the Latter-day Saint?
That's a big
Saint
deal.
Tabernacle?
They're calling it the what?
The Latter-day, like, what is it?
It's the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square, I believe is what they're called now.
Interesting.
And we're not supposed to refer to them as Mormon because we need to be more Christ-focused. The collective we.
That was their reason?
Yeah. I was reading people's comments about it on Twitter, and it was making me mad just because people take, they're basically, this is the word of God. Like these men speak to God. And so God has basically said, no longer, you can't say Mormon anymore. And people's responses were like, oh yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, totally. Not going to use more. Like it just, they don't question it. They're not like, well, wait a minute. Like the church came out with a huge program in the 80s called I Am a Mormon. There were songs that I sang as a kid called I'm a Mormon through and through. Like,
but Heather, God changed his mind. Okay.
He changed his mind.
And I'm sure that the former Mormons are super pissed that Christian was already a taken term. That would be closer to Christ.
And then they also came out and said that they are reducing. So church is 3 hours long on Sunday.
The normal service?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know
that.
Oh,
yeah. Yes.
Oh, this an is hour a big, feels this, long.
Like, I even have a line in my book about, like, that three-hour block of boredom is high on the top of the list of one of the reasons that I left. Like, 3 hours every Sunday.
And when does it start?
On top of
like,
that.
What's the normal start time?
They stagger it, and every year it changes for where you go. And so sometimes it starts at 9, sometimes it starts at 1.
Oh, man.
But when I was growing up, my mother was the choir director, and I was in the choir, so I would go an hour early to do choir practice. And then usually my mother or father had meetings after, so I would stay for another 30 to 45 minutes. So it's like a good five hours every Sunday.
So like half of every single weekend Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
And they are reducing it to 2 hours now.
So hang on. So they're changing their name to focus mm-hmm. more on Christ and spending mm-hmm. less time in temple.
Well, they're encouraging more family-focused study is what they're encouraging. They're encouraging families to go home and do a more family-focused approach to studying the scriptures and whatever, blah, blah, blah. So here I am thinking, okay, what they're probably trying to do, and this is just my, you know, I am an imbecile, an outcast, but I was like, okay, well, this is appealing to the younger generation, right? They need to appeal to the younger generation because younger generation is not having the whole anti-LGBTQIA thing, you know? They're not having it.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, so they're probably doing this to appeal to the younger kids. And then right after they announced that, fucking Dallin A. Jokes, I believe it was him. Sorry. I'm sorry, Mormons. Sorry, Latter-day Saints. I'm being horrible. But he came out and basically said, we are not to confuse the sexes and the differences between the sexes. And his whole talk was basically like four steps back in that we should not temper with God's plan for the body, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it was a huge blow to a lot of Mormons who identify as trans or gay or homosexual or lesbian. And just, The teen suicide rate, again, in Utah is the highest in the country. And it's just, I just bang my head on the wall.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because as you were talking about, you know, the different name, the first thing that came to mind for me, I don't really have a better word for it, is a rebrand. Like, there's negativity and sarcasm and cynicism attached to Mormon. So if we rebrand, people will see us different.
Yes.
But then you come right out and kind of make sure that everyone sees you the same.
Well, this is the irony of this is that they don't want to be called Mormon, okay? They prefer that you refer to them as Latter-day Saints. Okay, well, let's say that somebody prefers that they be referred to as they.
Uh-huh.
So, are you going to call them they because that's what they prefer? Or are you going to insist on calling them a he or a she?
Yeah.
There is a parallel.
It's there's some super heavy irony there.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, I kind of had to steer clear of Twitter during conference because when I see the blind acceptance of it all, it brings me back to BYU, and BYU was just a horrific time for me. So
you have to question everything. I mean, you do. Like, you should question everything. Doesn't mean you have to not believe anything or not go along with anything, but you always, like, ask why.
Yes.
I mean, if with absolutely everything, I feel like that's, I don't know. It just seems like essential. You have to do that.
Well, that's why we've talked about this, that I believe that left-leaning thinkers are more critical of issues and are more likely to disagree with each other because we're trying to tear things apart. Or we're trying to deconstruct things and get to the meaning of things and get to the why of things. Whereas if you don't ask questions, then it's a lot easier to mobilize because nobody's disagreeing and nobody's speaking up and nobody's going, well, let's ask a harder question about this issue. Right. And I think that's sort of our, it's both, you know, I think what's really good about being a left-leaning thinker, but it's also the Achilles heel. Because we are way more open to arguing with each other and right. asking questions and dissecting things.
Well, and like you said, it's a lot harder to mobilize.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I think it comes back to, you know, the pendulum. Like, there's a point where you do need to question everything. But if all you're doing is questioning, then it becomes counterproductive.
Yeah.
Like you have to accept some things. Like, question and then accept. It's not just constant questioning.
No, I don't mean that.
No, but there are people, I think that sometimes that is what causes that to happen, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are people who it's like this endless, let's question everything, and then that doesn't stop.
Yeah.
I mean, I know where you were going completely, but I do think that can really derail it.
Yeah.
It reminds me of a card. I don't remember what the inside of the card said. But I got it for a friend for his birthday like years ago because it said he's atheist and it said everything is magic if you don't understand science. And I thought it was perfect. Like, you just happens. You just go with it.
Yeah, they actually said something during conference about science that scientific reality is not the whole of everything.
Scientific reality is not the whole of everything.
Yeah. Huh. Like, there's more than just the scientific facts about life. And which was their roundabout way of saying science is not real.
Right.
they just needed to come out and they are getting around it. Science isn't real, guys. Stop relying on science. Come on, stop. Stop.
It's a compelling way to put it, though. I mean, it really is, because I think that's a fucking sneaky argument.
It's sneaky, right? It's a woo-woo-y thing. Like, it's not the whole of everything. Like, I'm not discounting spirituality, and I'm not discounting spiritual experiences at all, but fucking science is real, dude.
Right. But I think that's, again, one of those differences. It's like, you are atheist, but you don't discount the spiritual. You just believe in science.
I think science can be spiritual.
Right. But in my personal experience, it does not happen in reverse quite as often. It happens. I know it happens. I know someone is going to totally disagree with that statement. But from what I've experienced, the people who are, in my case, I don't know not a lot of Mormons, but the Christians that I know are kind of anti-science. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the people I know that are atheist and agnostic totally believe in spirituality.
Yeah.
And science. It's just, it's a strange dynamic.
Again, it goes back to being open and like, okay, you had a spiritual experience. Okay, well, let's talk about that. Let's figure out what that means. You know, it's not shutting it down. Like we aren't automatic to shut something down. We're like, okay, well, let's analyze this. We come from it from a sort of like curiosity, I think, that is a part of how we approach things. Intellectual curiosity, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, because just like it's not accepting everything right away, it's also not discounting anything right away. Like there's always that, okay, that's interesting. Let's talk about it. Let's figure it out. Let's think about it.
Yeah.
Let's think about just sticking with the word Mormon. Let's think about that for a while. And compromise. As soon as Mormons are okay with they or any other word, then yeah, maybe we can go with Latter-day Saints. Although it's much more of a mouthful.
It's much more of a mouthful. Yeah, you're right. It's a rebrand is what it is. Well, if we just get away from the negativity of Mormon, then everything, then the kids are going to come around. Yeah.
But that in itself could be an interesting experiment. Like a rebrand is not a bad thing.
No.
But if you're still hateful at your core, it's lipstick on a pig. Like it's not gonna last. It doesn't take young people that long to realize that you changed your name, but you're still the same. They should hire me. I will help them rebrand. Clearly I got this shit down.
Latter-day Saints, we still hate gays. Sorry. They don't hate them. They love the sinner. They hate the sin.
Yeah.
See?
Then it's all
See?
Okay.
Then it's all okay. Everything's fine.
Man.
Everything is fine. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Exactly. That is what it is.
That was a ramble.
It was. It was a bit of a spiral. So we end up at Mormonism fairly regularly. Maybe we're closet Mormons.
No, I had my name removed, so.
Oh, that's right. It's official. Oh, I waited too long to try and make that swift little change. Damn. Uh-huh. But now that they're not Mormons anymore, maybe they got a whole new list you could try to get on.
A whole new list I could try to get on?
Yeah, like maybe you had your name removed as a Mormon, but they're not Mormons anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So you could rebrand that yourself. Wild.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, screen time, oral surgeons, mm-hmm. Mormonism. Sorry, Latter-day Saintism.
Latter-day Saintism.
Yeah.
Somebody on Reddit actually is making a calculator on Reddit that awards Satan points every time someone uses the word Mormon on Reddit.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I want to go have drinks with this person.
Seriously, that is awesome. It's things like that where I don't understand how people find the time to do it, but I'm so glad that they do.
He wrote a line of code. And so there's this thread on Reddit that like every time somebody uses the word Mormon, it pops up on that thread and it awards points to Satan.
That's so great. Oh, man. It's those little things that just give me hope for people.
Yeah.
Like all the donations that went into Planned Parenthood under Mike Pence's name. Things like that.
Beto O'Rourke, did you see that he raised like $34 million in Q3?
Yeah.
And $34 million.
I still don't have Twitter on my phone, but I went on my laptop and I don't remember who it was. I wish I could remember who, but someone was trying to smear him in his campaign because he raised $34 million, but he's only spent 77% of it. Or he's, no, I'm sorry. But he's already burned through 77% of it. And everyone's like, dude, the election is like 20 days away. The goal is to spend that money. That's why you raise it.
That's why you raise it.
What the hell? He's still got like 25% left. So that's actually pretty awesome. But the whole spin was just negative and ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to flip it. I hope he does. But he has ran one hell of a campaign.
One hell of a campaign. Yeah. It's been really interesting to watch.
Yes. It all had this. This will be... November is going to be interesting overall.
Well, I know this is going long, but because I moved, I went through some pains to make sure that, not pains, I did a lot of work to make sure that my voter information was up to date. And I got my vote by mail thing in the mail last week. And so I'm voting today. I'm sending in my mail in today.
Oh, very nice.
I am voting today.
I always forget to do the mail-in, but I did drive by where I can vote early, and I think I'm going to do that, because that's what I did last election, I believe, was an early vote, and it was great.
Well, I wanted to get the sticker.
That's what...
I want to get the sticker, and turns out you can order I voted stickers off of Amazon. So I want to make sure that like my mail-in ballot gets there, and that way I don't have to go spend half of my day on election day standing in line. So I'm voting today. Everybody should vote who's listening to this, and research what's going on in your district.
Definitely do. There's also, I don't know if you saw, Cards Against Humanity. They have a campaign. It's called Cards Against Humanity Hacks the Election. And they basically identified six districts that they think can potentially swing blue. And they have like a website set up. I think it's Cards Against Humanity Hacks the Election.com, something like that, or Google it. But they identify the districts, and you can go on if you know someone in one of these districts and sign them up to receive voter information and a special pack of Cards Against Humanity cards for free. And then you get one as well. Yeah, just to try and get people out to vote, to get them educated to... And it's done in a very Cards Against Humanity way, which is awesome. It's worth checking out for sure.
Okay, I will do that.
But yes, everyone vote. Just vote. Vote early. Vote by mail. Vote on the day of. Just vote.
Vote.
I don't know how we ended up at that closing message, but... if you have anything to add to this incredible heap of chatter,
went everywhere. We delved into wisdom teeth.
We covered a lot of ground, lots. So, you know, if there's anything to pick from, you can email us as always to stories@manicramblings.com or all over social, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @manicramblings. And of course, for the very tail end, once more, Patreon is still up and alive and well. And you can find that at patreon.com/manicramblings.
And until next time, I'm a Mormon through and through.
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing staff.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.